This is Bird Note. Scientists have long thought that new species took a very long time to emerge. This thinking has now changed dramatically, thanks to research done in the Galapagos, the site of Charles Darwin's inspiration. On the small island of Daphne Major, Rosemary and Peter Grant have studied the three species of native finches for decades. One day in 1981, they watched a newcomer arrive, a larger finch from an island 100 miles away. Before long, the new finch mated with one of the finches already on the island. No one expected it, but this hybrid union produced descendants different from any of the island's known species. Different enough that the hybrid male's songs didn't attract females of the other species. And the beaks of the new finches had a unique size and shape. Ultimately, the new line of offspring began to breed among themselves and became established on the island. Blood samples showed the new birds were genetically unique. There was now a new species of finch on the island. The Grants had a front row view of the emergence of a new, unique species. And it had happened in just two generations, faster than anyone had thought possible. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann. Today's show brought to you by the Bobolink Foundation.
To the Vancouver Mixtape on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University, broadcasting on the unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, Stolo Katsi, Kwikpelam, and other Coast Salish peoples. My name is Jesse.
My name is Jamie.
Oh, and we're sharing a mic today, so it's going to be all over the place.
So
And joining us in the studio are 3/6 of Geist.
Yeah.
3/5.
Yeah. Maybe like 5
and a half. Oh, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
We have Kian, Kelvin, and Jordan in studio. Hey guys, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. It's going pretty good.
Yeah, I'd agree with that statement.
Yeah,
yeah. Sorry. My technique is a learned skill
for sure.
Yeah, we've got a bunch of shows and we're pumped to be making music, so I think life is good. We're just like getting ready to play a string of shows at like Redgate and Buddha's and Astoria.
Italia.
Yeah, and a few others, so it's fun. Yeah.
The new record out now is Hurricane Gold. It's great. Congrats, guys. Very, very excited when it showed up both on the CJSF playlist and I got a PR note from your agency or someone. Someone who said I should listen to the record, and I did, and I was blown away. It's really well put together, really polished, and just has this, felt really fresh to me, something I hadn't heard before. So, nice work, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, that is very
thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
The album is a... I describe it to my friends when I'm talking about it, because I do talk about it to my friends, as sort of alt-country, but as I was listening to it today and preparing, I realized that maybe that's just because of the instrumentation or the slide guitar in particular that I went alt-country, but, like, there's moments that are more, like, even, like, prog rock. There's some sort of, like, funkier elements. There's just all sorts of different bits and pieces. How does that all come together in the guise of one band? Like, how does that happen?
I think we all love prog rock. I love Wilco and alt country,
sure.
And I forced these guys to try alt country simply because I thought it'd be really neat to do that, and I love slide guitar. But we're not going to stick to it necessarily. We also love post punk and sad indie, but, like, you know,
we like a lot of music.
We like a lot of music.
That, yeah.
We're going to experiment for sure in the future and try different things. And yeah, we got post-punk on the radar right now. I'm looking forward to
through our
next stuff we're going to put out. But yeah, no, I'm very happy with the... I didn't even know about the genre name alt-country before this, and now I do, and I'm like, oh, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, I like Wilco a lot, too, now. I wouldn't listen to them if it wasn't for actually Calvin putting me on them after, like, we wrote most of the album, which is interesting enough. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm just about... I love bands who change over time. Like, the best of them are able to explore a range of sounds, right? So if we start alt-country and slowly make our way over to indie electronica, whatever, as long as we mean it, you know? And there's a lot to explore. Prog rock, as well, means that there's diversity everywhere, right? Yeah.
We were kind of talking about this just before we came on air, but, like, it seems like the trick is... And it's a difficult trick to pull off, but is... being able to explore genres, even within a record or across the discography, but still having, like, a through-line identity. I definitely feel like you accomplished that on this record, too.
Thank you.
How do you do it, is the question. Like, what is it for you guys that locks in the identity of your band to you?
Maybe, like, with that album, like, do you think, like, just, like, the sound of, like, the guitars and, like, the... just having, like, a consistent sound for, like, recording sessions in terms of, like, guitar effects, maybe that kind of contributes? Maybe that's a little bit too, like,
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Consistency. And then I think, actually, we didn't have it for this album, but album art, before you even start writing, like, knowing what it's supposed to look like, the colors and the shapes and things... but also a theme, like, frankly, this was kind of a concept album. It's talking about family heavily. I mean, basically about family and the trials of family. That's actually what this whole thing is about. So when you do it from that point, because we're not, like, I don't listen to, like, heavy, heavy pop country, modern country. There isn't a song on that album that is, like, bespoke country that you'd hear in Alberta.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, we're trying to bring a few elements of that in. It really isn't about alt country. It really is about telling it. Well, I'd want it to try to tell a story in a few songs, you know? Yeah.
Did you feel like, or do you feel like, I guess, the sound of the album is, like, specifically reflects the story itself, like this specific story? Or do you think that, like, that's just how the songs came together for this time around?
No, we wrote it in mind somewhat. Yeah, it's basically about my grandma raising her kids without a grandfather around. It's about the trials of parenthood, actually. So a lot of the songs converge on the idea of, as a young person or as even just a kid growing up and all of having all these, the weight of expectations thrown on you, but also having nostalgia for, and then some songs cover nostalgia and the idea of, like, what it's like to be a young parent, even though I'm not a young parent at all. I'm just writing it from the point of view of how it must have been to go through something like that, how much somebody's still a kid when they are a parent. Like, people get thrown into it a lot of the time, and they still don't know what they're doing. So that's kind of what I tried to write songs about. Yeah, that's kind of that was the concept, basically.
Yeah, I think all the time about how, like, I'm older than my parents were when they had me, and I think about, like, the things that they went through at younger than my age and how they, like, they did that, and that's, I feel like I could not. I don't know, it just seems like a whole other level of things I haven't ever really prepared myself for.
Same, totally. Yeah.
Well, let's get to a track from the record so our listeners can hear some of what we're talking about. Is there one in particular that you wanted to start with?
How about Sons and Daughters?
Sure.
Nice, accessible one.
This is
most popular on Spotify.
My personal favorite one off the record.
Well, there we go.
Oh, nice.
A ringing endorsement. Anything you want to tell us about this song in particular?
It's about Sons and Daughters.
Perfect. Here it is, Sons and Daughters by Geist on Vancouver Mixtape.
Little ones smiling, even All the earnings appear so small that it could creep up on anyone at any time. But my heart's electric and made of the strongest diamond. When I'm old enough to fight, I'm old enough to die. When the mailbox turns his head and whistles on his tune, when the day comes to an end and I'm putting you to bed, you will turn to me and say, I will see you once again.
Vancouver Mixtape. That was Sons and Daughters by Geist off the new record Hurricane Gold. Now, you guys, there's, it's not like a one or two person band. Like, you guys are like a pop punk three piece or anything. Like, there's a lot of contributing members to this group. Like, how do you, like, manage or reconcile with the tastes and influences of a diverse group of musicians to, I get, like, create a very cohesive sound?
You know what, Jamie? I mean, there's five of us in this band, and we all have something to contribute. You know, we all come from different backgrounds. We all have different influences as individuals, and I like that you brought up earlier that, you know, Sons and Daughters, as well as Hurricane Gold's, the entire album, it was intended to be an alt-country album, and that's kind of the way it's described. However, I mean, we are five individuals, and that's kind of the way we create music, is that, you know, we all have something unique to bring to the table. We often switch instruments. We often play different roles, you know, in the garage, the humble garage that we jam in.
Joe's garage.
And Frank's, you know, what comes also out of that garage.
Sorry, go ahead.
No. Sorry there. And yeah, while we might have an idea of a direction we want to go in, for example, that was alt country, and our next album that we want to create this year, we're going for actually post-punk, and it's going to be a very different direction. But while that might be the goal that we reach for, you know, it's still going to be us. It's still going to be Geist. It's still going to be us five members, and that's what's
our
important
interpretation of post-punk, I guess.
Yeah, it's exactly right. I can vibe out to this one wearing my cowboy hat, and then the next one I'll wear like my goth makeup.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rick, yes, that bar is so sick. Yeah. And like, even still, going back to genre, even like, we're talking a lot about genre here, but like, even alt country itself can mean something different to, like, it might be, maybe I'm like a Fleet Foxes guy and you're like a Wilco guy, or you're a Decemberist, you know what I mean? Like, there's a whole bunch of different versions of that genre in and of itself. So even then, like, people, like you're saying, you're bringing something unique and slightly different, even if you are, even if there's like a goal in terms of the, like, the sonic landscape you want to put together, right? So
absolutely. No, everybody that listens to an album is going to interpret it differently. For example, I mean, I showed my dad Hurricane Gold, and it really rang true. Like, he said, this sounds like the Beatles to me, specifically Hurricane Gold itself. He was like, this sounds, oh, wow, like McCartney. And that was the way he experienced it, right? And my dad's 65, and mm-hmm, you know, grew up listening to a lot of rock in the 70s.
It's all about the lens that, that you're filtering it through.
Exactly,
right?
And that's going to be very different from the way that anybody in this room would experience it, right? And we're obviously much younger, and it's going to be different than the way that anybody else experiences it. So, so totally, genre is a fluid concept, and it's kind of, you know, it's an attempt to describe something, mm-hmm, and that can be useful, but, you know, at the end of the day, you gotta listen to it and make up your own opinion and experience it for yourself.
As someone who works at a community radio station and sees, like, music come through all the time that we're trying to, like, label in a specific genre, and you're like, oh, according to the CRTC, jazz is Category 3 special interest music, and blues is Category 3 special interest music, and rock is Category 2 popular music, but blues rock and jazz rock are Category 2 popular music. Like, what is genre? What is any of this?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think
that's a headache.
Yeah. But I think that plays into the sort of, like, the idea of progressive rock as well, right? Because from, you know, like, there's this sort of classical idea of progressive rock, you know, like Pink Floyd or King Crimson or whatever. That's sort of, like, 60s, 70s rock. But it can also just mean, like, rock that you're just, like, doing weird things in. You know, you're, like, you're taking chances. You're incorporating different, like, artistic backgrounds to create this progressive thing, because it's not just what rock it is or was, right?
Totally. Prog rock is really, you know, yeah, I think it historically, the albums that are prog rock are a little bit hard to access, but they're meant to be that way because they push the envelope, and then you hear a cascade of people follow in their footsteps too. You know, people push the line with prog. Love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is a somewhat new formulation, lineup wise, of the band Geist, right? And so I want to ask new members, Jordan, Kian, what has your experience been like, sort of joining this band, and what do you like? How do you feel that your own sort of artistic voice has had an impact here?
Feels pretty great. I mean, like, at first I was like a fan of the band. Like, I really liked their music, so it was kind of surreal at first, like, getting to join the band. And it was a bit scary, like, the very first session, because, like, Kelvin was kind of testing me, like, a little bit. He was
of
like,
course.
Yeah.
You got it. Did you do your homework?
Yeah. Name every chord.
he was, like, putting me on the spot and being like, oh, hey, come with a melody right now. I was like, okay, I'll try my best. And it kind of worked out, like, I'm in the band, so.
Yeah, I mean, you're here now, so.
yeah. Trial by fire, I guess. But yeah, no, it's what was the question again? I'm sorry.
Just how do you see your own artistic input being sort of reflected in the band's output? Like, how what do you see yourself bringing? Like, what has that?
Oh man, you see, the thing about me is, like, I feel like I'm pretty okay, kind of like, just like supporting other people's visions. Like, I feel like I'm pretty adaptable. So, like, if somebody's like, oh, hey, write this for me, go for this kind of vibe, like, Kevin will be like, oh, he'll give me, like, some, like, crazy adjective that, like, like, you cannot describe in any way with, like, music, and, like, I'll try my best, and I'll come back with, I'll like, bring it to him, and be like, oh, yeah, you know what, that's okay. Like, he'll be like, oh, I like that, maybe try this, and, like, we'll kind of adapt
it. What kind of adjective? What do you mean? What do I say?
Like, oh, come on, dude, what are you talking about? You know what you said.
Gave me Sea Watcher, you gave me cheery, lively, and something else. But that's actually good. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I said honky tonky.
You did.
Kinda like,
that's right.
Elton John, but like on a ballad stage.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. You gave me some magic. I really appreciate that personally. I mean, but
yeah, it makes it easier. It simplifies the process like a little bit. You like, there's like a whole aspect that you don't have to worry about. Right, like, it's kind of like more like it gives you like guidelines, and it's easier. It's definitely easier, which I appreciate. Less work. I'm a lazy guy. What can I say?
Well, it's a skill in and of itself to be able, like, not only being able to articulate the vision, but also being able to interpret it. Is a thing. Like, when somebody's, instead of just being like, being overwhelmed by some sort of like vague description of what they want it to be, like, being able to work that into something creative is a skill in and of itself. And I think that's like a really underlooked part of being a musician, right? Is being able to interpret abstract concepts into something sonically, right?
For sure. Yeah, we like don't do like the none of us, actually maybe you can read music, but most of us can't. I'm pointing at Jordan. Most of us can't read music, so like
barely. Yeah.
So we have to, like, rely on, like, these, like, you know, like, these abstract kind of, like, ideas. Like, somebody being like, oh, go for this kind of vibe. Which is interesting. And, yeah, it is like, a challenge in and of itself. And it's a very fun creative exercise. And I think it's made me a much better musician. So I appreciate it, for sure.
Cool. Should we jump on to another track off of the record?
Yeah.
Which one? I think somebody mentioned Hurricane Gold. Why don't we go with that one?
Good call. All right, this is Hurricane Gold off the record. Hurricane Gold, you're listening to it on the Vancouver Mixtape on CJSF 90.1 FM.
We'll be right back.
Tape here on CJSF 90.1 FM. That was the title track, Hurricane Gold, by Geist. We have three-fifths of Geist here in studio with us today. We've been talking a little bit about how, you know, you manage as a band, and it takes a certain set of skills, right? It takes a certain level of communication and being able to take things in stride. And Jordan, you were saying off air as we were chatting in between while the song was playing that it's you found it easy to just sort of fit in because